Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen?
Had a big tournament out there this last week in Brosenham, and it went very well. I noticed something that was different out there this time was that I had not seen before. The county transit service was running a transit service there. And so it might have cut down the numbers dramatically because the parking lot at Lipscomb was full front and back, including a big truck in the back and a big truck in the front. But the other two parking lots had no one in it when I checked it Sunday in the finals.
So you might have heard David Wayne in the newsroom talking about this a little bit yesterday. Tom Harrell, District 5 on the school board, bringing up the issue of Ashton-Brosnahan Park and during the SEC soccer tournament that there's a lot of people using the parking lots at the schools across the street because there's three schools right there, right? And he was concerned about that, and his recommendation is let's close off the parking lots to people using them when school's not in session.
Here's some recommendations I'd like to make. That we move immediately to secure the parking lot so it, if someone does not have a facility use agreement, that we can close off those lots.
So if they haven't entered into an official agreement basically to take responsibility and, you know, follow the rules, then the parking lot would be off limits to them. Sean Dennis, the Assistant Superintendent for Operations.
In keeping with what Mr. Harrell is saying, we are in the process of pulling back some of our fence lines. We have a lot of schools where we secure the parking lots and the gates are never closed because the parking lots have a lot of mobility. So the thought process here is any parking lot that is not within the secured perimeter should have a sign posted. We are in the process of fabricating those. I made the request today to have non-school hour parking prohibited, something very simple, to be posted on those lots. So it won't be every campus. It'll be those lots that where it's relevant.
Right, so you have some schools where they have a fence around the outside of the parking lot. Think of like West Florida High School, you know, and lots of other ones, you know, have the same situation. And of course, there they can close a gate typically, and they can enclose the parking lot and make it off limits. Other schools like, you know, Lipscomb or, you know, Westgate or, you know, MacArthur. I think MacArthur is open, where you can just go drive in and park, and then they have more interior perimeter controls. You know, your middle and elementary schools are not always, you know, there's quite a mix. I'm thinking about the schools I've driven around to them. But the idea is that if there is a gate or a fence around it, that takes care of itself. People can't drive through there when the school is closed. But if the place is open otherwise, then they should at least put up signs. Maybe think about putting up fencing, you know, around the exterior to completely control it so that people cannot park there when the school is not in session. The reason?
I'm hoping that most of the people will elect to use the facility use agreement there. And then what I'm going to recommend is that we leave our policy the same where the superintendent has authority to approve those. But if they do not have a facility use, then we need to have the ability to close off the parking lot for liability. That's a huge amount of liability on the part of this board. We could have something happen there, and it cost us millions of dollars.
So the worry, as you would have suspected if you hadn't thought of it or heard the story already, is that they're worried about getting sued. You know, somebody's going to slip and fall, somebody's going to do drugs or engage in a fight or get drunk or, you know, whatever. And they're, because it's on their parking lot, they're going to get sued.
Just something that's not going to go away, fellow board members. We've got a big tournament coming up while we're at the Florida School Board Association in December. It's going to be huge. It's the women's finals for soccer. In March, we've got another big tournament out there that's going to be all of the soccer, community soccer organizations, all of their teams in our own county that will be there for championship rounds. That's going to be another huge event.
Yeah, so it's commonly used, right? People park in those parking lots. It is school board property. They, of course, have the right power, authority to close it off, to enclose it, to prohibit it, to whatever they want with it. The question is that a good thing for them to do? Is that good use of publicly owned land, property, facilities, however you want to describe it?
Board members, we need to know who is using our facilities in our district, is my feeling. We need to not let people arbitrarily use our facilities without a facility use agreement for the simple reason the liability is just huge, you know, huge on our part.
I completely disagree. And I was disappointed that nobody in this workshop, you know, nobody spoke for the people. Nobody spoke for the Parkers. I mean, think about it this way. At Ashton-Brosnahan Park, is there adequate parking? Well, obviously not, or people wouldn't be parking at the schools. There's obviously a demand for additional parking. How many places in our communities have adequate parking for big events or little events? Rarely, right? So what happens? People show up in their cars, and then they, if there's nowhere to park, they park on lawns, they park on streets, they park on the right-of-way, or they park in, gosh, I don't know, a parking lot that's literally owned by a public government entity. And now that government entity says, oh, I don't think we should be letting people park on the parking lots. You know, gosh, what could happen? Well, people could park in the parking lot. Well, what about liability? Okay, I think, first of all, we ought to have a law. This is one of the laws I have been advocating for years and years and years. The law should say that public parking lots, school properties, playgrounds must all be open to the public, and the school district cannot be sued. There's a, you know, some kind of legal indemnification for any misbehavior. You know, if a kid off hours, just like, you know, like if you're at a park and you fall off the equipment, you don't sue the city unless it can be shown that it was negligent, right? We have parks that have playground equipment. Why is it that the playground equipment or the tennis court or the basketball court at the school is not available the same way? Oh, because, you know, legal liability. Bull. You have those facilities at parks and it's fine. What's the difference? Same thing for the parking lot. We have parking lots that the city and the county own and people park in them and it's fine. Well, legal liability. Bull. I call bull. I say this is nonsense. And here's how I know this is a terrible idea from a, you know, management, government perspective, because people want to use it. It's kind of like when they design a traffic intersection and then people do U-turns because they designed the thing poorly, and then they do what? They put up a sign that says, no U-turn here. The one thing that you're doing to solve the problems we already made, collectively, you can't do that thing either, right? The same thing here. The parking lot should be available to people if people want to use it. It's asphalt. What is the level of liability? Very low. We'll come back to this in a second. So I think the school board is off its rocker. Completely wrong. And they're responding to a need, a demand signal. And their answer is, don't let people use the thing that people want to use that the people paid for. Now, granted, you can't control the facility just because you paid for it. You don't get to go into the school whenever you want to. I understand there's limits. But a parking lot is not inside the building. These are fundamentally different entities. Anyway, but your thoughts, feel free to disagree with me. 437-1620. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like Highway 90, 98, 29 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so back to the question of whether Escambia County Schools, and you know, may also apply in Santa Rosa, I just haven't picked up this discussion there, you know, should close off, prohibit parking at their facilities, at their parking lots, when people actually want to park there.
Swing gate at that west entrance of, I call it a cow gate, Mr. Dennis calls it a swing gate, so it would be the swing pole gate at that west entrance of Lipscomb or other places that we might deem appropriate.
Now they're talking about, this is Keith Leonard, the superintendent, talking about putting up gates that can open and close, not necessarily fencing the whole property, but, you know, just putting a gate that would close off the driveways, basically, essentially, that you can open or close. Tom Harrell.
But the casual use of that facility, what I had in mind was leaving those gates open when any of these things are going on, except for these major tournaments, because I've been monitoring that, and the casual use of our facilities there is minor compared to what it is with those.
This is the weirdest perspective of all. What he's saying is, I don't mind the local people just parking in the school parking lot once in a while, you know, when they're just kind of coming to the area or something like that. Or I'll tell you, we go bike riding all the time. We park in schools a lot. I use school parking lots a lot because parks a lot, you know, anywhere that's a public kind of area, I use those because it's available. It's large. It doesn't bother anybody. Nobody ever came and yelled at me for parking, you know, like, but we have had many interactions with people over their stupid ideas about where you can and can't park. So we try to be unobtrusive. And now if all the schools go off limits, I mean, we don't bike in Escambia County anymore. We finished it. But so he's saying, look, it's okay for the locals to park in the parking lot once in a while, just not these big events. Why? Because big events have more people parking. Okay, why is that a problem? Because more liability. Okay, but also more value, like more demand, more it solves a problem. The weird thing about this is that if you have a few people parking there, there's not much cost or loss to the county or the city or the, you know, the school board. If you deprive people, it's only a few cars that lose the value of the parking lot. And you also gain only a little bit of liability protection. On the other hand, if there's a lot of people parking there, you theoretically, you gain a lot of liability protection because you avoid 100 people. But you also have inconvenience to 100 people. So weirdly, the more people, the more you should keep them open.
Our local residents, as they come in to use those facilities, I'm not saying that we need to block them off. I'm saying leave them gates open. You know, we just need to have the facility to block them off when there are major tournaments and things going on where it's really bad and where the liability is really large.
Yeah, but the exact opposite. That's when you want to get the cars off of the street and off of the grass and off of the other places and onto the parking lot that is owned by this government entity.
If somebody casually parks there on our parking lot and they fall and break a leg, you know, then if we have signage up, we have some leeway there. But when you're talking about the mass number that I saw last year there, all up and down 10 Mile Road and everything, it's a lot. We do need to have some facility use agreements.
Good Lord, you know, people could get into fights and they could, you know, I mean, Kevin Adams, they could tailgate, for goodness sakes.
I agree about securing the gates, because the one thing I started thinking about with these big colleges coming there is tailgating. You know, so if they're tailgating on our property, that brings a whole lot of other stuff into the mix, you know, as one that's been to a lot of Florida State games.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, just I would recommend we ask our legislator to pass a law, legislature or legislator individually, to pass a law that indemnifies schools against this stuff. I mean, people will tailgate. They will bring coolers. And so what? I mean, so what? Now, Paul Fetsko, weirdly, I thought Paul, even though I completely disagree with his point of view, I think at least his point of view makes sense.
If we're going to have the gates, they need to be closed all the time. Consistency, because you can't leave it open one time and not the next. And you're just as likely to be sued by somebody who lives here or somebody who doesn't. Our attorney could attest to the number of the claims that come in, and we see the records on that too. So if we're going to shut it down, shut it down. When it's not open for school business, it should be closed, in my opinion.
I don't know, this kind of Chicken Little scared mindset about what could happen on your parking lots. You know, it's everybody bought into this because it's defensible. Well, we're just trying to look out for the people's money. We don't want to get sued. I don't think you're likely to get sued anyway, but okay, ask for a legal indemnification. That wouldn't be that big of a deal to get done. And by the way, think about it this way. Not from the parking perspective, although it's same thing is true. Think about it from the parks perspective. How much money does the county and the city spend on parks and infrastructure and facilities in these places? And I don't know, when I was growing up, where we used to go play, as we'd play at the school. We'd play on the baseball field at the school. We'd play on the tennis court at the school. We'd play on the basketball at the school. That's where we played. And then somehow or other, over time, we got this idea that the school's off hours are off limits, and we had to instead, therefore, deprive people, kids particularly, of access to their best public park. So we had to waste money on other public parks that don't get used all that much by comparison. What if we, you know, kind of consolidated value? You could actually have a smaller parks division for the, you know, the city or the county, because we could be just using the tennis court. I mean, it sits there unused all the time. It's so dumb. It's one of the things I actually appreciate. It, like, you know, PSC, you can go play tennis at PSC just like it's a park. Cool. You know, that's great. Can you go play tennis at, you know, West Florida or Tate? No, because they lock it up. How dare the public use the public facility? You know, right? Anyway, same thing with parking. If parking is valuable, let the people use it. Don't just lock it up behind a key or behind a gate so that people cannot have the thing that they, you know, basically paid for. And again, I know public facilities, that it's not really public in the same way, but it could be. So this distinction between the casual user and, you know, And by the way, a whole other issue came up with the fact that the county built this stadium at the end of a dead-end road and then doesn't have enough emergency access to it, you know, the soccer complex back there doesn't have enough parking for it, that's not really their fault. But, of course, the county, they're not likely to come along and say, no, we'll indemnify ourselves against you for the parking lot. You know, like, that's not likely to happen. But, by the way, just another small note since I'm on this topic and I don't plan to come back to it. They were talking about Jack Kaufman Road. That's the road that runs south of Lipscomb and then goes back and comes south all the way to 10 Mile and goes on the back gate, backside of – that's a school board property. So that's a school board road. That's not even a county road, apparently. So now you have legal liability there. I mean, what if they block that off? Well, that's an emergency access route. Well, what if you let it open and something happens? All these same questions. Here's my basic view. Feel free to disagree with me. 437-1620. If a government owns the thing that is an outdoor thing, a road, a parking lot, a playground, let it be available to the public. To me, it's that simple. And if you need to get something passed to reduce their liability or indemnify them against lawsuits, whatever we have already at parks and parking lots, give that to the school board. No problem. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, just a minor delay in that area. But other than that, that is it. I am John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I got one text in here. Somebody says, tailgating at FSU for Doak Campbell is literally a public school parking lot. And then an expression of disapproval of the school board. That's very sternly worded. I won't say it, but it's not complimentary.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I'll get you. I'll get all of you if it's the last thing I ever do.
Look, I'm not one to just come out and call the school board a bunch of Gargamels. We're trying to prevent all the Smurfs from having fun. But think of it as a parent. You got a six-year-old or a couple of kids, and you got to drive past four school playgrounds to get to a park with a playground.
That are perfectly suitable.
It's insane. This whole, you know, somebody says that 437-1620, school security is one thing. Liability concerns are ridiculous. Somebody says, don't let the mayor find out there's free parking somewhere. But like City Hall. If you go to a Wahoos game, you can park at City Hall for free. Should they?
Oh, legal liability. I don't know. Somebody might tailgate there.
Yeah. I mean, stop. Just stop. It's so ridiculous. Anyway, and I don't understand why there was nobody in the room during this conversation. So I'm saying, hey, excuse me. So if people want to use the parking lot, doesn't that mean that the parking lot has value to the public? Anyway, that's amazing. They're all smart people, but, you know, for some reason, they all managed to miss what I think is the most relevant argument here. Now, maybe you say, no, Andrew, we've got to think about liability. We've got to think about the cost, and we've got to protect the public from themselves. I mean, okay, that was their view. That's fine. You know, you can have a disagreement. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, thank you for covering that story yesterday. I wouldn't have gone back and watched that hour-long conversation of the workshop if you hadn't. So
it's so interesting. And I'm right there with you. I grew up on school playgrounds, too.
Yeah.
All my, you know, hours as a kid there on the monkey bars. And when I fell off the monkey bars and got hurt, my parents never sued.
We had a hill going down from my school to a ditch, and we would jump that in our bikes, and sometimes we would fall, and sometimes we'd get hurt, and it was okay. Here we all are today. Look at that.
Absolutely. Well, hey, today the National Transportation Safety Board is releasing the findings of its investigation into the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. According to previous reports, the cargo ship lost power before it collided with the bridge back in March of 2024. And NASA sharing images of 3I Atlas tomorrow, an interstellar comet making its way through our solar system. It was discovered in July. It's the third object in the solar system that's been confirmed to be from somewhere else in the galaxy.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Should be a very interesting vote whenever they do it on the Epstein files, although I will be honest, I have stopped caring. I'm a news guy. I'm supposed to care about this. I mean, unless you tell me that the top 100 most famous people in the world were all taking these flights, I'm out.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The House is expected to vote today to release the files related to its investigation into convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump changed his stance on the issue, telling Republicans to vote for it.
We have nothing to do with Epstein. The Democrats do. All of his friends were Democrats.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
What is he hiding? What is he afraid of? He should release the files now.
Meanwhile, the president is meeting with the Saudi crown prince today after announcing yesterday the U.S. will be selling the country F-35 fighter jets.
He says it's a reward for helping the U.S. carry out Operation Midnight Hammer back in June and for just being an all-around great friend. The decision comes despite objections of another key ally in the region, Israel, amid mounting fears the IDF could lose their military edge.
And that is Fox's Jillian Turner reporting from the State Department. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got mostly clear skies. It is 56 degrees in Pensacola. The Pensacola man accused of shooting his wife the day before Thanksgiving in 2023 will be headed to trial this week. Daryl Walker is charged with second-degree murder in the death of his wife, Sheena Marie Levine. According to police reports, Walker called his daughter from their home on Meadson Road, saying he messed up and that his wife had grabbed the gun. When his daughter arrived, she found Levine dead. Walker fled. He was arrested days later in Panama City. He did have a prior conviction on gun charges. His trial is set to begin on Thursday, November 20th. Escambia County Commissioners discussed hiring a consultant to cut costs and improve efficiency on Monday. Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger said they needed to know whether the county is running as efficiently as possible. They decided to wait on a decision until they find out if the state is cutting property taxes, so no vote was taken on that. Some more information on the man accused of killing a Pensacola business owner during a burglary. As it turns out, Joseph Michael Davis had a violent history at the same business. Back in 2022, Davis was convicted of stealing a van and tools from the AA Top Shop. After breaking into the business, he had been ordered to stay away from there, but police say earlier this month he came back, entered the same way, and stole about $100 and some cell phones before he killed 57-year-old Dean Chambers. Investigators say Davis had already finished the burglary and could have left without being noticed, but instead he stayed and attacked Chambers, who investigators believe didn't see it coming. In 2021, Davis had also allegedly attacked an elderly roommate with a machete. He served several months in jail for that. Davis is now charged with Dean Chambers' murder. Well, demolition's underway for what could become the first Dutch Brothers Coffee in Santa Rosa County, the Oregon-based coffee chain planning to build a location in Pace on Highway 90 where the former Mugshots restaurant was. A Tennessee developer bought the property for over $3 million and received a demolition permit in October. The county has still not approved formal plans for the coffee shop. If it's approved, it would be the first Dutch Brothers Coffee in Santa Rosa County. There is already one that operates in Escambia County. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer said on Monday that 122 missing children have been safely recovered in what he's calling one of the largest child rescue operations in U.S. history. The two-week effort was called Operation Home for the Holidays. They say children were located across four major Florida cities, 57 in Tampa Bay, 22 in Jacksonville, 14 in Orlando, and 29 in Fort Myers. The children ranged in age from 23 months to 17 years old. Many had suffered abuse, neglect, or exploitation. The operation resulted in six felony arrests so far. 635 at News Radio, 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 98, not even seeing any delays. 90, 29, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, starting off in the 50s and the 60s. Temperatures warming up near the upper 70s for your highs. Partly cloudy skies overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we head into Wednesday, we will have temperatures warming up back into the mid to upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies going into Wednesday night, temperatures back into the 60s. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 56 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. As the job market slows down, workers are turning to Uber and DoorDash to pick up the slack. A new analysis from Goldman Sachs found 20% of people who have lost hours or their job entirely have turned to gig platforms to make up the difference. Goldman found gig hours rose the most in cities where payroll growth slowed the most. Honda says it's gradually resuming operations at its North American assembly plants. It's a sign disruptions are easing after a semiconductor chip shortage threw a wrench into production at the Japanese carmaker's factories last month. It's also the latest example of chip trouble at places that are not AI behemoths, which are cornering the market otherwise.
At Bank of America, we asked our people, how do you take ownership of your career?
I'm able to grow my way by putting the priorities that I have for my career first.
I thrive on being a leader who's behind the team, not in front of the team.
Every few years, I'm being re-energized because I get to do something different and learn something new.
See how our teammates are growing in their careers at bankofamerica.com/great place to work. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PenAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PenAir.org/auto-refi. That's PenAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
This is Philip Warren with the law firm Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes. When we need to get a message out to our community, we rely on our friends at ADX Communications. They are clear, reliable, and effective.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction and Flooring. I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
A very interesting story. At least I think it's interesting, so, you know, therefore it is. to share with you. This is fascinating. This report, it comes from NPR. I consume NPR. I actually don't listen to NPR more. I just read NPR. Their online product is actually a really good news product. And, you know, not to get into the debate about, you know, PBS and NPR and all that, but, you know, historically pretty good news service. Anyway, headline. You ready for this? More liberals, comma, people of color, and I'm going to insert the Oxford comma here, and because they don't have it, and LGBTQ Americans say they're buying guns out of fear. So liberals are buying guns. Liberals, people of color, and gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, two-spirit, whatever, you know, plus asterisk, ampersand, whatever. Everybody in the holy acronym string. So people who are normally opposed to guns are now buying guns. The story goes, when Charles was growing up in the 1970s in Brooklyn, New York, his mother was so strict she forbade. It's always a good NPR story when they use the word forbade, or could be the Atlantic. Toy guns of any kind, including squirt guns. I remember vividly summertime when my friends would have water gun fights and I couldn't participate. He recalls, insert the imaginary boo-hoo. Yeah, you should not deprive your kids of guns. My mom was a kind of anti-gun. I had some, but not a lot, and she didn't like it. My mom was a liberal. I was raised in a liberal household. I outgrew it. He grew up and became a doctor, and these days he heads to a shooting range in Maryland each week for target practice with his Smith & Wesson 380. Charles, who is black, twist, says, says he bought the handgun after the Trump administration did things that scared him, including arresting a foreign student who criticized the university's policy on Israel and handcuffing a U.S. senator who was forcibly removed from a Homeland Security news conference. Quote, what I'm talking about is protecting myself from a situation where there may be some kind of civil unrest, says Charles. Like most people who spoke with NPR for this story, he asked that his last name not be used for fear of retribution. So much fascinating here, but let me read some more. For decades, the image of gun ownership in America was white, rural, and Republican, but that's been changing, according to gun clubs, trainers, Second Amendment advocates, and academic researchers. They say more liberals, people of color, and LGBTQ folks have been buying guns for years, and particularly since Trump's re-election in 2024. This story was based on more than 30 interviews. David Phillips is on the training team of the Liberal Gun Club. That's actually the name of the organization, the LGC, the Liberal Gun Club, which has chapters in more than 30 states and provides a haven for liberals to train and learn about guns. It's a safe space for guns, you might say. He's come, hold our talking stick. Try out your gun in our liberal safe space. He says club membership has grown from 2,700 in November to 4,500 today. Requests for training, he says, have quintupled. The concern, he says, is about supporters of the right wing who feel they have been given permission to run roughshod, at least if not commit outright violence against people they don't like. Asked about these concerns. This, again, I'm giving you the story, so you read what I read, but then we'll talk about it because I find this so fascinating. Asked about these concerns, the White House dismissed NPR's reporting. Quote, instead of covering Americans exercising their Second Amendment right and trying to disingenuously blame President Trump, NPR should highlight the dangerous language from elected Democrats that has driven leftists to commit actual violence against Republicans, including the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk, White House spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said in a statement. Jackson said stories like this one are why NPR no longer receives federal funding. That's something we can all celebrate. She says, Trump has also blamed what he calls radical left for demonizing him and his supporters and inspiring political violence. Okay, you guys completely missed the story here. Don't blame NPR for this story. I believe it. I believe that it's true. I believe that liberals are buying guns more because they're scared. And can I tell you? Cool. I believe in gun ownership. I believe in self-defense. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that people ought to feel comfortable and safe in their persons. And by the way, the number one reason to own a gun is not protection against an intruder. What's the number one reason to own a gun? What does the Second Amendment say? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's to protect you against a bad government. That's the purpose. That's what it says. Invasion, domestic, civil unrest, the big things. Not, you know, Benny with a zip gun down the street. Like, that's not the... I mean, it's covered, okay? But that's not... It's not hunting. It's not sport shooting. It's defense of home, hearth, self, from civil unrest, domestic tyranny, invasion, and crime, okay? Goes on the story. Thomas Boyer, spokesperson for the San Francisco chapter of, you're going to love this title, The Pink Pistols. Guess what they are? Come on, say it. Say it, John. You know you want to say it.
A chorus group.
No.
Oh.
It's a bunch of gay, lesbian, transgender people who believe in gun ownership. He says, I've never seen a surge like this before. Armed gays don't get bashed is the idea. So for your own protection, if you're gay, own a gun. Yeah. Duh. I believe we've been saying this for, how many years? I think there are some people whose response to, and you should be cautious if this is your response, like, oh my gosh, black people are buying guns. Good. I mean, think about the laws against gun ownership for blacks in Jim Crow South. Like, that was a problem. You kept them disarmed to keep them under control, to keep them from being able to have their rights. People with guns have rights because they have the ability to enforce them. I love that black people own guns. I love that gays own guns. I love that liberals own guns. Also, it means that they're going to be less interested in grabbing guns because they've become gun owners. They become familiar with them. They're not scared of them all the time. You know, the idea of a gun doesn't trigger them into some irrational reaction. I want every law-abiding citizen to have a firearm. And I want them to go participate in clubs where they train, even in the safe space training. I want all of this is great news. It's not great that they're afraid. But if their fear drives them to become participants in American democracy, you know, the Second Amendment, then cool. What do you think? 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110. Are experiencing no delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, my God. This text program is killing me today. It's not working right now, so if you're texting me, I'm not getting them. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Internal server.
Yeah, if you want to. It was working, and then it wasn't working, and then it was working. And then, if you are friends with me on Facebook, you can just message me there. That's the best solution for right now. It comes and goes. I will get them eventually, 3 o'clock. to me, first of all, I think this is a great thing that more people are owning firearms. Second of all, it doesn't even in the slightest bit bother me that it's leftists owning firearms. By the way, the one thing that is the weirdest about this story to me is that they're all afraid to be identified. They're all, like, the 30 people that they interviewed didn't want to have their names revealed. By the way, there's no way to measure just how many people are buying guns because the political environment scares them. But the phrase, how do I buy a gun, spiked a number of times in the past year, according to Google Trends. How do I buy a gun? Well, let me think.
Let me go to the store.
It's almost like if only they had stores.
Exactly.
If only they had
somewhere you could go.
Yeah, if only you had gun stores or sporting goods stores or, I don't know, every pawn shop in the universe. It's amazing. How do I buy a gun? Lots of people. Let's see. I'm trying to look at some of the other. There were several people in here that said they didn't want to be identified their last name because they were worried about being outed as a gun owner.
Like
that itself is so concerning to me. I mean, people on the right that own guns are like proud of it. We all talk about gun ownership and how good it is, and we don't necessarily carry around a sign that says "try it," but none of us are ashamed to talk about. Why are you ashamed? What do you think is going to happen? You went and bought a gun, and now what? The Trumpers are going to get you? Like, what is it you're really... But I guess they're already into kind of the fear mindset. Be proud. Be a gun owner. It's okay. You know, it's allowed. There's actually a law. There's actually... It's even an old law. It's, you know, like almost 250 years, you know. It's not quite because it's 1789, 91. It's been around a while. And it's literally for this. A Maryland doctor named Charles, who didn't want to have his last name revealed, tells NPR, every new gun owner who spoke said they were highly unlikely they would have to defend themselves, but they also said if they ever had to, they regret not having a gun. Yes! It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. He says, as a father, as a man, as a husband, how remiss and derelict would it be for me not to be prepared? Amen, brother. Look at all these people finally coming over to the gun rights side. I love it. Maybe we'll finally get rid of all of the gun grabby nonsense. You know? I don't know. So I thought it was a great story. And again, I'd celebrate it. It sounds like all good news to me, except for the part about how they're scared, which isn't great, and except for the part about how they don't know how to buy a gun, which is... It's a weird bit of incompetence. 437-1620. Try it if you dare. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty are there to help you buy or sell a home for whatever reason. If you want to, you know, you're thinking about buying a beach home. Maybe as a second home. Maybe as a vacation rental. Maybe as a, you know, sometimes you, sometimes them. Whatever. Buying an investment home that's another regular rental. Just buying a smaller home or bigger home. You know, your family's growing. Or your first home. I don't know. Everybody's got a different reason to want a realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty can help with that. They sold 165 homes last year. That means on average, 3 to 4 a week. So every week they're selling 3 or 4 homes, which is kind of crazy. But that means that they have experience. They know how to stage it, to list it, to price it, to do all of the things that need to get it done. And I know it might seem like every realtor knows that. But one of the things Christina's told me lately is that they're getting a lot more clients these days who have tried other realtors first and not succeeded. Because the market is harder right now. It's a little bit, you know, more difficult from a seller's perspective. And she said people come to her with 2, 3 realtors, 4, even 5. And then they bring it to her and she sells the home. And okay, you don't have to wait till she's your 6th realtor. You can give her a call right now. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty.
Journey through a classic story of small wonders and big dreams.
Not a second can we spare, because it all comes down to Christmas.
As one of America's favorite Yuletide movies comes to life. Ralphie, his family, and best pals. Live on stage. We triple dog dare you to miss the smash hit A Christmas Story, the musical.
Coming to the Sanger Theater in Pensacola December 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorneys' fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We've just got to get organized. We've got to get organized.
Good morning, 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. The last of the Austell-based or built LCSs has now been commissioned. The Pierre, USS Pierre for North Dakota, capital of North Dakota, Pierre, right? All of a sudden, I say something out loud, and I feel like I'm totally wrong about it. Anyway, the USS Pierre. I don't know capitals. Isn't that embarrassing? I'm terrible at American capitals. I know the European capitals better than the American capitals. My kids know the American capitals better than I know them.
Okay.
Because my social studies teacher in like the fourth grade never drilled us on the American capitals, but my fifth grade did drill us on we had to learn the European ones. So I know the capitals of Europe and I don't know the capitals of the U.S. I don't know. I mean, don't hide the truth. Ugly facts. I know some of them. I mean, obviously I know that, Orlando's the capital of Florida.
Very good.
Flagstaff is the capital of Arizona.
Very good. And
Pontiac is the capital of Michigan. Well, no, sorry. It's actually
Dearborn.
Not. It's not. It's Flint.
Flint
is the capital of Michigan.
Okay.
Right. there's some social studies teacher that's driving
shaking
in right
their
now
head.
That is just like having a conniption, like her head's twitching. I need to text him. You can't text me. My texting isn't working right now. But then there's kids listening and they're like, is that the capital? No, kids. I was making a joke. Those are all the wrong answers. comedy's hard. Maybe I shouldn't do it. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now. Bridlewood Road and Mobile Highway. That's going to be affecting the southbound lane there. So just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 90-29. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
John, of course, was born in the capital of Texas, Dallas.
Yeah. Cowboys rule. Yeah.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The United Nations Security Council has voted to support President Trump's Gaza peace plan, which calls for the creation of an international stabilization force to disarm Hamas and demilitarize Gaza.
Hamas said that tasking the force with disarmament strips it of its neutrality and turns it into a party to the conflict in favor of the occupation. It remains to be seen which countries will contribute soldiers to the force amid concerns that disarming Hamas could bring them into direct conflict.
That's Blake Sefton reporting. The plan also calls for creating a transitional authority overseen by President Trump to manage the government and reconstruction.
It's good to know that HAL 9000's grandchildren got a job.
Little robotic, huh?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia's crown prince will be at the White House today to meet with President Trump. Prince Mohammed bin Salman last visited Washington in 2018. The two are expected to discuss a number of issues ranging from AI chips to nuclear technology.
I'm so thrilled that we're giving the Saudis all of our latest, selling the Saudis all of our latest and greatest military hardware. That's fantastic. I mean, it's not like, terrorists ever learn what they learn by being, Saudi Arabians.
Never, right?
Oh, man. But they are our allies, and we'd rather have them on our side. But, anyway, go on. I'm sure this is all part of the deal with Israel, right? Like the Gaza Strip deal. This is all part of that.
I believe so, yeah. And the National Transportation Safety Board releasing findings today of its investigation into the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Back in 2024.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, it's working for the moment. Text me fast. Somebody says if the issue of liberals and minorities buying guns, which I think is a great thing, if they finally somehow understand gun ownership and its relationship to American culture, maybe they should stop attacking the Second Amendment. Well, again, a boy can dream. Let's see. They live by mob rule. Having a gun goes against their ideology, so they'll be outcast. Yeah, don't assume that all liberals are mob rule anti. I mean, that's a caricature. It's really. I mean, I know way too many. I know some, but they're small numbers. Don't let them lie about you, and don't you lie about them. Let's see. Somebody else says, "What's it going to cost to put?" Oh, this is back to the question about the school fencing. What's it going to cost to put up signs or fencing around everything? More money of our tax being wasted after they just raised the taxes. Did I
you
say
okay
that out loud?
Over there?
Yeah, I seem to have caught a hypocrisy in my throat. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. I think what they would say is, well, we're trying to save money against lawsuits. Well, how many times have you been sued? And lost. Okay, moving on. Yeah, so I mentioned that the USS Pierre, last one got commissioned over in Panama City, the last little crappy ship that nobody wanted. Although they have found, that's what the Navy calls
it. Oh, I was like, I'll take it.
The littoral combat ship. Well, what would you run it with?
Well, I don't know.
I know, it would be kind of fun to park it out back, though.
It would, you know, and just play with the guns.
Cuts down on door-to-door salesmen.
It does. Let me just line this up for you, sir.
No, but it's we have a mission now, I guess. You know, the theory is it's good for minesweeping, which was one of the original intents, actually, if I remember correctly. But also with all these shallow water environments, that's what littoral means, that are around some of the islands in the proximity of China. The theory is that it might actually come into having more of a value in those environments. But yeah, basically this has turned out to be this giant 20-ship boondoggle, really.